I know. Marky boy.
I remember using the iPhone 4 when we were at the retreat. I was like, damn.
Dude, this is actually sick. You look like.
Right. Yeah, he looks just
cool.
Welcome to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Sit here and watch while I pray.
Amen. So it's great to be with the men tonight. Amen. Yeah. So I'm gonna try to project as much as possible with you guys in the back, but little first century style tonight. It's gonna be good. Yeah. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Father God, it's so good to be outside on just a beautiful summer day, just taking in your creation, God. Tonight. We are so excited just to focus on you, Jesus, focus on how amazing you are. We were singing tonight, just give me Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world, but God, we want you, Jesus. We want you in our lives. We want to know who you are better. We want your Holy Spirit to lead us into truth tonight, Father God. Yeah. I pray that you'll just open up our hearts wide tonight to hear what you want us to hear, God. Help us all just to really put aside the distractions, God, and just to tune into your scriptures. God, I know that there's a message that you want us to hear tonight. I pray that you just remove me out of the way, God, so that your spirit would move and lead us to be more in awe of you, Jesus, tonight, God. We love you. Thank you for this time together. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a New York Yankee.
All right. Really?
I wanted to be like Derek Jeter and A-Rod. I wanted to be the Yankees that I saw play on TV. And I thought that they were kind of the cream of the crop. They were the guys to be like and to aim to imitate. And then I realized that they're really not all that amazing.
Yeah.
They can play a sport really well, but actually they're very flawed people.
Oh.
And players started being caught doing steroids, and I realized that baseball is just a game. Yeah. And actually that these men idolized this game as their god. It was their god. It's a game. And then during high school, I decided I really wanted to focus on being a famous singer-songwriter. And I wanted to be a professional artist and make my way in the music business. I wanted to be like John Mayer. I wanted to be like Ed Sheeran. I wanted to bring more genuine music to the world. I was inspired by how much my favorite artists and their music influenced the people around them. I wanted to play like them. I wanted to look like Ed Sheeran. I wanted to wear those black skinny jeans and have that kind of red tinted hair like my brother has. And I wanted to talk like them. I even wanted to sing like them. I practiced singing like them. I pursued being an artist for years. I worked with Taylor Swift's old manager. My family shelled out tons of money for me to chase this dream, and I really thought that this was the way I was gonna change the world. And ever since I was a kid, I wanted to change the world somehow. And so I thought music was the only way to go, but then I realized during high school that all these musical artists, they were lost too. Yeah. Deeply lost.
Right.
They were flawed people as well, and their lives were honestly in shambles. And if I followed them, I would follow them into a desert of sin and emptiness. But I still made it clear to myself and my parents and the people around me that I wanted to make an impact on the world. I knew that life was short. And then I met Jesus. And I was astonished by Jesus. And the funny thing that I really quickly realized is that he was a man, just a man, like all these other men. But he was perfect. Yep. He was perfect. I could imitate him in every way. There was nothing about him that I didn't want to imitate in my own life. Yep. He captivated me. He captured my attention. He made me feel more valued and treasured than I ever had before. He made me know for certain that I am loved. He made me come alive inside and out. He was everything I was looking for in a friend, a coach, a teacher, a healer, and a role model. Not only that, but I came to see clearly that he is God. He is perfect, and he is the Savior, the Messiah. He's the only solution for my sin. He's the only way I can change. He's the only way I can be a world changer. He's the most influential person that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Right.
He is a revolutionary. He is the world changer. He is love. He is why we have hospitals. He is why we have universities. He's why we have orphanages. He's why the universe even exists.
Right.
He's why I'm breathing right now. He's why you're even alive right now. He's the answer to all the evil in the world. He's the maker of all of us. He's my best friend. He's full of grace, full of truth, full of power. He is love. He is Lord. He is Jesus.
Come on, bro.
One man. I am honored. Honored to follow Jesus. It is an honor to follow Jesus. And guys, tonight, we are going to soak up Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're going to do tonight. And honestly, as I wrote this lesson, it was hard to narrow down what I wanted to say because I'm just amazed by Jesus. And even singing that song tonight, I could sing that for hours and mean every word that I'm singing.
Yeah.
I just love him so much. And so tonight, as we continue our series of A Summer to Remember, we're going to focus on the Jesus study. And we're really going to answer the question of who is Jesus. And honestly, we're just scratching the surface tonight, right? When you do this Bible study with someone, you're really just scratching the surface. You're trying to help someone see how awesome Jesus is. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. Who is this man? Why would someone even consider following him? What is it about Jesus? Why are you here tonight? What is it about Jesus that you come here tonight to get in the Word? And tonight we're going to answer that question. But let me ask you a question. Are you amazed by Jesus? Are you amazed by Jesus? Does he just leave you speechless? Is he on your mind? Is he on your heart? And really, the goal tonight is that we all leave here just more in awe of Jesus and who he is. Amen?
Amen.
And just seeing, honestly, the honor it is that we even get to follow him.
Yeah.
That's even an option for our lives to follow him. That we see the honor that is. Turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 1, amen?
Yeah. Oh, Mark.
So tonight, I'm biased. We're gonna start in Mark 1. That's kind of going to be our main passage for tonight. And this is also the main kind of passages that are used in the Jesus study. So this is important that you kind of really get to know these passages tonight, because this is a study that's really important to do with people. Because if you're calling someone discipleship, but they don't know who Jesus is, that's going to be a really hard study to do.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So it's really important that someone knows who Jesus is before you ask them, hey, are you ready to die for Jesus?
Right.
They need to know who they're dying for.
Right.
Amen? Mark 1, we're going to pick up in verse 21. Let's read here. We're going to read just verse 21, 22 right here. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So this is right after Jesus calls his disciples, right? It's at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Don't you just wish you could have watched Jesus teach?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's probably one of the greatest wishes. I wish I just could have watched him teach the Sermon on the Mount. And just listen to him, to hang on his every word. And you'll notice a lot in the Gospels this phrase that says, and they were amazed at Jesus. They were amazed at the words of Jesus. And that's what we're focusing on tonight. But right here it says they were amazed at his teaching. You know, I don't know what professors you've had, but it's not like all the time that you're in college and you're like, dude, that was amazing. That professor made me. But they were amazed at his teaching.
Right.
The way he taught. He wasn't just a rabbi that threw nice ideas out there. He didn't just say what people expected to hear. He didn't just teach with enthusiasm. Verse 22 says they were amazed because he taught with authority.
Right.
Authority. What is authority? Authority is the power or right to give orders and enforce obedience. That's what authority is. Jesus taught with power and calling people to obey. That's how he taught. He challenged people's lives. The teachers of the law, they taught out of no passion, and Jesus taught it, but he lived it.
Right.
He lived it out, every word he said. And that's why people were shocked, because they weren't used to that. Right, they were used to these Pharisees praying these long prayers and then watching the poor man walk by.
Mm.
It's not affecting anything. But Jesus taught, and he taught, and he said, you need to do this. You need to obey this. And then he practiced what he preached.
Right.
And people left his sermons, and they were amazed. Are you amazed at Jesus' teaching?
Mm. Come on, Mark.
You know, especially the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, if you just want a life challenge, make your life challenge to live out the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Seriously. Jesus, he called people to a new life. I mean, this is some of the things he taught. He taught to love your enemy. I mean, what is that? That's crazy. He taught to love your enemy. He taught to pray for those who persecute you and hate you. He taught to not even look at a woman lustfully, not even a hint. He taught to serve the poor. He taught to make other disciples. And he taught to be willing to die for a message. That's some pretty crazy teaching, right? Jesus' teachings were counterculture because he was a counterculture revolutionary. That's who Jesus was.
Right.
Jesus' teachings addressed the heart, and they left people speechless because he's the best teacher to ever walk the face of the earth.
Yeah.
End of story. He's a master teacher. What helped him with that, though, is that he really knew the scriptures. And he had to do that. He had to get to know the scriptures, right? We read about them, a little we know about his boyhood. But man, Jesus, not only did he know the scriptures, not only did he know God, he knew how to communicate the scriptures effectively and challenge every kind of person in the community.
Right.
No matter what background they were from, he could preach at you, he could teach at you, and convict the snot out of you. Because he knew the word and he knew people. The way Jesus taught convinced people that what he was saying is the only truth and the only way to live. That's how he taught. It wasn't like just, here's a version of life you could do. Here's a nice idea. It was, this is it. Like what I'm saying, very truly I tell you, you need to obey this.
Right.
Right? Authority. Do you know how to effectively teach the scriptures, and do you do it with authority? Do you teach people to obey? There's a big difference between teaching scripture and the idea and then calling someone to obey. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But do you know how to teach people to obey? Do you teach with authority? Do you present the scriptures and the Bible studies as nice ideas? Or do you help people to see that obedience is really the only option? I struggle with that, I'll be honest. I'll be in a Bible study and I kind of want to leave the idea there, but I know I got to say, dude, you're not doing this
right. In
your life. You're still watching pornography. You're not making disciples. You need to obey the teaching of Jesus. And that's what Jesus did, right?
Come on.
Are you amazed by the teaching of Jesus? Honestly, if you're not amazed by the teaching of Jesus, then you've really yet to come to know them. That's the truth, all right? And so if you're here tonight and you're like, I don't feel like I'm there, get a Bible study, get in the teachings of Jesus, get in the Bible more, ask questions. Let's keep reading here, though. We're going to keep reading through this passage, verse 23.
Come on, Mark.
Amen? Oh, we're going to read here verses 23 to 28. You guys with me?
Yeah. Come on, Mark.
Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently, came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teacher and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. It's like, imagine just being there. And like, imagine right now, like he's got an evil spirit in him, and Jesus just comes up. He's like, "Get out of him!" And everyone's like, "Is he literally doing this right now?" Like, this actually happened. And that's just crazy to think about. Like, sometimes you read these things and it's so far-fetched, but this happened.
Right.
Like, Jesus literally goes up to this guy, to this spirit, and he says, "Be quiet." But the crazy thing about this is that the demon, this evil spirit, says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." He has respect for Jesus and his authority. He actually realizes, and he's trembling like, "What are you going to do, Jesus?" Because he knows Jesus has the power over him.
Right.
He might be in this man, but this spirit, he respects the authority of Jesus, just like the people did. And Jesus, obviously, he calls the spirit out of the man and shook the man violently, and it came out of him. And again, the people are amazed, right? And this is just another display of Jesus' authority in a very extreme way, right? But we see here an example that Jesus is a destroyer of evil. He gives orders to spirits and they obey him. That's the Lord you serve. He has all power. He has all authority over the whole spiritual realms. He is Lord. Do you have proper respect for Jesus as much as this evil spirit?
I'm concerned, Mark,
that this evil spirit might possibly have more respect for Jesus and his authority than you do.
Wow.
I mean, how many times do you say in a week, and when you're praying to God, you are the Holy One of God? How many times do you really tremble before the name of Jesus? Or do you just kind of throw out some prayers, not even thinking what you're saying to God? You kind of just go about your day and just forget Jesus. Forget that you're in his presence. Because this evil spirit, he knew who Jesus was. But do you know who Jesus is? Do you have that respect for him? Or does this evil spirit know Jesus better than you? Guys, we got to let Jesus call us to obey. Because the best thing you can do for your life is to know the words of Jesus and to obey them.
Right.
To know and to do, to live it out. I promise you, if you do that, it leads to life to the full. If you read the word and you do it, you're going to find life. Jesus has all the power, guys. There is no one, no force more powerful than Jesus.
Come on, Mark.
And if you're a disciple, that power is in you right now. Wants to destroy the evil in your life. And wants you to submit to Jesus and to Jesus' authority. Amen?
Amen.
What's amazing about Jesus is that even though he is God, he can drive out demons, he created everything and he can destroy it in a second. He has all the power to destroy evil. Even though he's got that power, he's still so human, right? And he's still so relatable, and he's so compassionate. He's got that perfect magic mix that pulls people in. He's really confident, but he's gentle and full of love. You know what I'm saying? He pulls you in. He doesn't make you feel like he's a monster.
Yep.
He's got that magic mix. And, you know, he could at one moment invite himself over for dinner. You know, he's just always eating. Like, Jesus is always eating in the Bible. At one moment, he's over for dinner, and he's, like, saying all these profound things. The next moment, you know, he's eating your food. He's eating your bread. And he's like, oh, yeah. And all you guys, oh, you're all going to hell. What? You know, he can just do things like that. And then walk out and then be like, where did he go? And he's gone. You know, like, Jesus just had that balance. Like, it just blows my mind that there's passages where it's like, and he snuck out. And it's like, where did he go?
Where I'm going, you cannot come.
Thing that person's ever heard. And it's okay. But it's because he really meant it and he really loved people. He, like, dismantled people. He was just like, you know what I'm saying is true. And the people just be like, but you said it with such love. Like, it hurt, you know? Because he's love, he's truth. But we're going to look here, we're going to continue to read this passage, and what you're going to notice is the humanity of Jesus.
Yep.
That he just had this moment where he drives out this evil spirit, but he's about to do some very just personal, intimate things. Let's keep reading here, verse 29, amen?
Amen. Oh. Verse 29,
we're going to read verse 29, verse 34.
Mother, I'll return one day.
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. It's a very personal thing. Hey, my mom's got a fever. Can you come? Can you come to the house? Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her. He took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. We'll stop there. So again, after this epic moment, Jesus drives out this evil spirit. He drives out some more demons here, but he has this really just human moment. And out of just love and compassion for Peter and his mom, he goes and he just takes her by the hand and he rids her of her fever. It's a simple thing, right? I mean, we have medicine now. That's what my mom does for me when I'm sick. You know, I say, hey, mom, what should I take? She helps me out. But Jesus met people's physical needs.
Right.
He met people's physical needs. He wasn't just this big show all the time. He stooped down and he would look at someone in the eye and he would heal them. Simple physical needs. And this is why, because he was such a friend and so personal, and that he was a healer, that's why the whole town gathers at the door.
Right.
If Jesus isn't that, if he's not all-rounded, full human, full of love, the town's not at the door. Yeah. And they're not going to hear his teaching. But because Jesus is so personal, he's so intimate, and he's a healer, flocks of people are going to him. Who doesn't want healing? Who doesn't want healing?
Come on, Mark.
Jesus knew that people needed healing. He deeply cared for people. Jesus was trying to bring heaven to earth. Heaven, it's like heaven, like through Jesus, was breaking in to these villages. Healing, powerful healing. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus can fully heal you. Fully heal you. Have you let Jesus heal the most broken areas in your life?
Mm.
I don't know what that is. All I know is every single one of you guys has some brokenness. And you have a story that's really important. And Jesus says, I want to heal you. Why not let Jesus heal you? Why not get vulnerable and let Jesus heal you? What have you let untouched by Jesus?
Mm.
You gotta let Jesus get in there.
Amen.
What evil is there that he wants to drive out of your life? What evil is just going on that you know, and you just got to let Jesus drive it out? You got to get people in your life. You got to get the scriptures in your life. You got to let Jesus drive it out. Another question you got to ask yourself, especially those of you guys that are disciples of Jesus, is do you meet people's physical needs wherever you go? No matter where you move, do you look for needs to meet? Are you like aware of them? It could just be something as simple as someone's not looking well at midweek. They're in the corner, but do you see needs? Do you go meet needs? Are you intimate with people? Do you ask people, hey, are you okay? You gotta be people that deeply care. No one brings healing like Jesus does. There's no self-help book. There's no religion. There's no girlfriend, no friend, no drug, nothing that heals like Jesus.
That's right.
There's no song that heals like Jesus. I love music. I'm sorry. But when I need healing, I go right to the Bible.
Come on, bro.
And music helps me to connect with the Bible, but Jesus brings healing. The deepest healing that our souls long for. But here's the reality, guys. Jesus needed the Father.
That's right.
He needed the Father. He was fully human. You know, I said the Bible to people sometimes, even at Bible Talk, and a lot of people that claim to be Christians don't get that he was fully human. They have this idea like he's some superhero, superpower. And almost every semester I have to help someone see, no, he was fully tempted, just like you. That's why he's so amazing.
Right.
Because everything that you go through, he faced, but he said no to it.
Yeah.
And he said no to sin.
Mm.
Why? But he could not have done that if he wasn't connected to the Father.
Right.
And that's what we're going to read here, is what he does the next morning. Talk about a packed day of ministry. He goes to bed. Verse 35, let's read here. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark.
Yeah.
It was still dark.
Nah.
When's the last time you got up while it was still dark? Hey, I'm keeping it real. You got to think about that. That's commitment. Jesus got up, left the house. He didn't just stay in his room. He didn't just flip open the Bible app. He got out of the house while it was still dark.
Come on.
Went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus prioritized his relationship with God. It was the most important thing to him. Jesus was one with the Father. He got time with the Father. And honestly, usually when people go looking for Jesus in the Bible, you know where they find him? Getting time with God. Even as a boy, the parents are trying to find Jesus, and he's like, did you not know I had to be my Father's house?
Yeah.
Where do people find you?
Okay.
If I was to go look for you, where am I going to find you most of the time? I mean, really think about this, guys. Where do you spend most of your time? If you really want to change the world, most of your time needs to be spent with God or doing the work of God.
Mm.
Like video games, just hanging out with people, just kind of lounging around, like That's not Jesus.
Right.
That's not Jesus' life. Jesus was focused on the Father. But where do people find you? How do you spend most of your time? How are your times with God, guys? Do you walk with the Father like Jesus did, or do you just have like kind of appointments with him when you want to? So you don't feel guilty. I've been there. It's easy to fall in that trap. But Jesus and God were tight. That's how he changed the world. He was tight with God.
Yeah.
He was tight with God. And here's what's really cool is that you can do that too. You can be tight with God. That's not just a Jesus thing. That's for you. He's just setting the path. He doesn't have to outdo you in this. Like, Jesus just prioritizes. Fully human, just like you.
Come on, bro.
That's how Jesus turned the world upside down. That's how you're going to do it too.
Yep.
You're going to stay close to God. Stay close to the Father. Jesus was tight with God, and that's how he changed the world. You know, I want to throw some questions at you guys, get a little discussion going here, and just kind of get some thoughts. I think it's good for us to think about, just think about Jesus. Just think about, what do you love about Jesus? So, I want to ask this question. How do you think Jesus made people feel when he encountered them? Give me some words. Give me some actions. How do you think Jesus made people feel? Raise your hand. Give me some.
Confident.
Yeah.
Prioritized.
It's awesome.
Knowledgeable.
What did you say?
Knowledgeable.
Hopeful.
Definitely. Love. Love.
Secure.
Value.
He took it.
Said,
yeah.
Fully seen.
Mm. Jordan.
Convicted.
Yeah. Maybe a couple more in your thoughts. Yeah.
Happy.
Nice.
Strengthened.
Yeah. That. You can do all those things with your life.
Yeah.
Do you realize that?
Yeah.
You can make people feel valued. You can bring people hope. You can strengthen people. You can convict people. None of those things are just, they're not out of your reach.
Right.
I think Jesus wants us to know, like, you can do this, guys.
Right. Come on, bro.
You just named why Jesus changed the world. You know why you're gravitated to Jesus. Just be like him. Do what he did, right?
Come on, Mark. It's awesome.
You gotta ask the question, like, what draws you to Jesus? Because if you don't know that, it's gonna be hard to draw someone else.
Right.
Like, if you're not really drawn to Jesus yourself, and during the week, if you're not, like, constantly, like, wow. And I'm not saying every day is going to be like, oh, my God. Like, you're human. You're going to have times where you got to deny yourself and keep going. Mm-hmm. But, like, do you get excited about showing people who Jesus is? Like, does that excite you? Amen? And I really appreciate, you know, everything you guys shared. But I'm going to, the last thing I think we want to focus on is actually kind of a consistent theme of the things you guys mentioned. And honestly, I've heard that kind of question thrown out before, and usually the consistent theme is that Jesus made people feel really loved.
Yeah.
Like, really loved. Like, there was no doubt leaving an encounter with Jesus if you were loved or not. People knew they were loved. And that's what we're going to close out with talking about, is that aspect of Jesus.
All right.
Is the last point here. Last week, my family had to say goodbye to our dog, George, and it was really hard. And, you know, for me, it was kind of sudden. I came home, and my mom just got off the phone, and she said it's looking really bad. And it was my sister's birthday. And anyways, just a hard time, and my dad wasn't home. He had to go on a trip. And then so I had to go with my mom to put down George and be there and hear his last breath. And he's an awesome dog. And you know, I'll remember a lot of things about George. At certain points, I thought he wasn't a dog. I thought he was a pig at times. Like, he would just like do these weird noises. Like literally, we would just sit in the living room and be like, "What are you? Are you a sloth? Are you a pig? Like, what are you?" And sometimes he just licked so much, like, "That'd be a cat. Like, what is this dude doing? Breathing somewhere weird?" But you know, I remember a lot of things about George. George was always super happy to see people. You know, George was, like, honestly a bum. Like, he was a bum. He'd just sleep all the time. Like, his routine was just sleep, poop, eat, go to mom. Sleep, poop, eat, go to mom. Like, wherever mom is. And When he got old, he just pooped whenever he wanted, honestly. Like, he just got so old. And so I remember a lot of things about George, and they all bring me joy. And if you guys have dogs, you know this, but the thing that I'll remember about my dog, George, is his unfailing love. Yep. He just loved me.
Sure.
Yep. I would step on his toe accidentally. I would do some stupid things I shouldn't have done with him, like pick him up on his front legs, and he'd try to bite me, and then the next moment, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. And he'd be like, it's okay, pet me. Yeah. He's just so forgiving, like so loving.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get that in anyone else in my school or, you know, around the people in my life. But that's what I remember about George. He just loved me.
Yeah.
That's what dogs do. They love. And I think if there's, you know, as I was doing this lesson, I had to really sit down and think about, like, there's a lot of things I love about Jesus, but what is it, the one thing? Like, if someone came up to me and I could say, there's a lot of things. He walked on water. You know, he did a lot of amazing things. He left people amazed. Jesus, you know, he forged leaders that could forge leaders. He had all the power. He could drive out demons. But what I love more about Jesus than anything is that he submitted his power and authority, and he didn't call down 10,000 angels,
yeah,
and he let us kill him.
Hmm.
He died on that cross for you and me. That's what stumps me about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's his love.
Come on, bro.
If there's anything that people remember about Jesus, it's his love. It's what he did for you and me. You know, I remember leaving Calvin's cross study, and it was just so encouraging. Like, that's when I knew this guy was going to make it. We're just walking out of U-Haul, and the whole way out of U-Haul, Calvin's just like, man, this is crazy. Like, yo, this is crazy. This is crazy. Like, yo, Marky boy, this is crazy. Jesus died for me. Like, but Calvin, like, as soon as he knew how much Jesus loved him, it was over.
Wow.
Yeah. We didn't have to look. We looked at repentance, but he just started repenting.
Because
he saw how loved he was by Jesus. And what amazes me about Jesus is that God himself got into my skin. He got into my world. He took on all my sin. He bled and died. He rose from the dead. And why? Because of what I've done? No. It's because he loves me. That's it. That's it. It's because he is love. He lived a life of love every second of every day. He lived a sinless life for me because he knew that I couldn't do that myself. I'm a sinner. You know, 1 John 4:8-10, you don't have to turn, I'm just going to read it. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I love verse 17 as well. It says, this is how love is made complete among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. So this whole passage is about love. And how does it end? Jesus. Because he is love. God is love. Jesus is God. Jesus is love. That's what I love about Jesus. That's what I love about Jesus. I love Jesus because I know he'll never stop loving me. He'll never leave my side. He will always love me no matter what I do. And no human, no thing of this world can give me that kind of love. And that's the same for you too. I want to ask you guys a question as we close here. Is Christ at the center of your Christianity? Another way to ask this is love at the center of your Christianity? Is love at the center of your Christianity? What's your standard in life? Do you love your way or to your standard? Or do you love one another as Jesus loved us? What's your standard? Because he is love. And what's awesome is that the only thing that never fails is love. I get so stoked about that every time I read that verse. I'm like, I can do something that will never fail this person.
Yeah.
I can love them. And Jesus knew that. He knew that's what he had to do. But is his love, is Christ at the center of your Christianity? Is Christ why you do what you do? Is Jesus why you do what you do? Or is it because of people? Is people why you do what you do? Is it campus ministry culture why you do what you do? Is it because you don't want to look like the odd one out? Like, why do you do what you do? If we all left and you're the only one in this garden, how are you going to be? How are you going to still influence people? Is Jesus why you do what you do? You know, I follow Jesus because I genuinely, and I mean this with all my heart, I genuinely want to be exactly like Jesus. Like, I do not want to be Mark Persing.
Yeah.
I want to be like Jesus. I pray every day, God, help me to be less like Mark and more like Jesus. Mm. And that's what we do, guys. We're disciples. You're going to spend the rest of your life trying to be more like Jesus. We got to really remember that. It's not about just being a member of the Garden State Church or the ICOC. You signed up to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
To follow Jesus. You signed up to live the most challenging yet inspiring life. And you got to keep that in your view as you go back to your week. Like, why are you going to be different this time next week? How are you going to be more like Jesus next Wednesday? Like, that's the kind of way we have to live. Because that's how amazing he is. You know, what impact do you want to leave on the world? What difference will it make that you live?
Mm.
I think Jesus really thought about that a lot. I really think Jesus thought about that a lot. Why is this day going to make a difference in the world? Why is this minute, why is this word I'm about to say going to make a difference in the world? I love that about Jesus. Jesus, he changed the world, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, we're here 2,000 years later in this garden talking about Yeshua. 2,000 years later. Man, I just think about it. That's astounding. Like, to sit here and just think about this man.
Yeah.
And I just really want to encourage you guys to just pray. God, I just want to be more amazed by Jesus. I just want to be more in awe of Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you're just feeling like, yeah, that tank is low, like, you know what? Yes, I love God. I want to be a disciple. But if you're feeling like that tank is low, talk about it. Let's help each other. Like, yeah. This is a team effort. We got to inspire one another. We got to spur one another on to be amazed by Jesus. But if you're a disciple here, this is for you disciples. I just want to remind you guys that when you decided to follow Jesus, you know what you also decided? To change the world. You can't separate those two.
Right.
And Jesus is unapologetic about that. If you're deciding to follow a revolutionary, you're going to be a revolutionary. And that's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing, man. And that's why I'm honored to follow Jesus, because I don't have to make up my own system.
Come on, bro.
About how I'm going to change the world.
Yeah.
I don't got to go to music anymore. I don't got to go to worldly ways of influencing anymore. I got Jesus. Like, we got the solution for this thing. We got the perfect life coach, the perfect friend, the perfect role model. Like, everything you need to grow in your spirituality, to change the community around you, it's in Jesus. It's in his life. And so let's really remember that Jesus is the teacher you need to imitate. He's the friend you need to be to other people. He's the servant you need to serve like. He's the healer that wants to heal you. He has all the power to drive out evil in your life. But most of all, he is love. And love is what you're looking for. And the only force that can change the world, Jesus is the solution. The gospel is the solution, guys. It's not politics. It's not your career. It's not how you look. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
Be amazed by Jesus and spend the rest of your life helping others to be amazed by Jesus. And I promise you, this world is going to be different by the time you die. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. That's all I got for you guys.